Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, thank you so much for staying with us on the line. With us is Professor John Stremlau, who is a visiting professor at WITS at International Relations Department. Thank you so much, Prof, for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Well, thank you very much, and welcome to everyone.
Thank you. So about a week ago, Prof, I didn't have a conversation with you, but I was almost certain that, you know, Donald Trump is going to be heading all the way to the elections, very strong, obviously, after the back on the back of what was a very weak, a very weak president who was now sick with COVID and all of that. And I have to say, maybe we have to eat some humble pie. Well, I certainly think I have to, because Kamala Harris is coming out quite strong. Your thoughts on that?
Well, she is indeed. And you're right to call attention to the enormous events and that have transformed American political dynamics in the case of a week. And, it was Vladimir Lenin who once said, or is attributed to him, that there are decades where nothing happens, and then there are weeks when decades happen.
Yes.
And it really did transform the whole race. We had Trump with surviving an assassin's bullet, which was terrible, but nevertheless, he parried it into a godlike convention where he was the center of attention, and it was a personality cult, and he appointed his 39-year-old inexperienced vice president, J.D. Vance, and now Trump is looking pretty old himself. He's 78, and Biden really reprised Nelson Mandela by saying that no man is above the law, and he was not indispensable, and therefore he was not going to run for a second term, which incidentally he would have been exactly Mandela's age when Mandela stepped aside and said, let a younger generation carry South Africa forward. So there is now a younger generation of Kamala Harris, who is African-American and Indian, as you know, and is representative of where America is heading demographically and from policy-wise. And I think she's generated such excitement that she will, over the next 100 days, I hope, turned what was looking to be a certain Trump win into a certain Trump defeat.
So all of a sudden, Donald Trump doesn't sound so eloquent anymore against Kamala Harris. But it was for me, maybe it wasn't for you, but it was for me that even though Biden was very quick to endorse Kamala Harris as soon as he said he is stepping down, he's not going to be running on this particular race. Well, he's not stepping down as president, but you know what I mean. And then he quickly then endorsed her. It was for me strange that the Obamas took so long. A week for me was quite long to finally come out and saying they're endorsing her. What did you make of that?
Well, I don't claim to any inside information, but I think this has been very carefully choreographed. After all, Biden and Obama served together for 12 years, and the excitement that Kamala Harris is generating is only comparable to the excitement that Barack Obama in 2008, and then he won a second term, which for me was even more momentous than the first victory. But I was in the States in those years, and it was just wonderful. And he's apparently ignited the same kind of enthusiasm, but she's done it herself in the first week. I mean, she's got 170,000 new volunteers working for her. She's got the $200 million contributed by small donors in the first week alone. And this may be a honeymoon, but even if it isn't, She's only got 100 days to capitalize, and I think there is enough energy and belief on the, especially from women, because you know, she, her signature issue is women's rights to choose, and it is just exciting to watch. Biden, incidentally, had a opinion piece in the Washington Post today where he is going to recommend a constitutional amendment. I don't know whether he'll ever get it passed, but maybe Harris can. No one is above the law. I mean, it seems crazy that you should have a constitutional amendment, but in fact, the Supreme Court basically said that presidents should be immune from any action they take when they're in office, and that's crazy. And then secondly, term limits for the Supreme Court, which of course we have here in the Constitutional Court, and thirdly, building a code of conduct for the Supreme Court, because they're sloppy about their ethics, and other judges in down the line in the U.S. are held accountable. They have to disclose any gifts, but the Supreme Court members are above the law, and so that's undermined the confidence in the judicial branch, and it's got to be corrected. So I'm glad that Biden is still sticking his neck out, and he couldn't have done it if he was going to run for a second term at 81, but now he can, and thank God for Kamala Harris.
So who should she be choosing as her running mate?
That's the million-dollar question now. My own feelings are she will probably choose, and she should choose someone from a governor from a swing state like Josh Shapiro from Pennsylvania, or Roy Cooper from Kentucky or South Carolina, I guess. And there are Mark Kelly from Arizona. He's a senator. But these things have been kicking around. She will keep her own counsel on this, but I would expect that we will see an announcement in the next several days. And it will be contrasted by virtue of their experience and their seriousness of purpose to the J.D. Vance. I mean, J.D. Vance is a charlatan and no better than Trump. And he's an ideologue. And he flip-flops all over the place. But, you know, it's a strange world to go from a Milwaukee, Wisconsin Republican National Convention, and when everyone looked like he was on a roll and against Biden, and then overnight the fire that has been lit under Kamala Harris and by Kamala Harris is just inspiring to me.
So
it's a little bit like our GNU. Yeah. I mean, who would ever forecast a GNU? You know, I mean, Helen Zilla and Mabalula signing a memorandum of understanding. I feel like I've been cast back to the 1990s and the miraculous transition that was occurring here. So, you know, there is a word to think about about Trump and how hostile he would be to South Africa and to Africa more generally, and his agenda 2025, which is produced by the Heritage Foundation, already has declared that South Africa should be no longer the beneficiary of any assistance, and which it's gotten substantial assistance from the U.S., particularly in HIV/AIDS. And then the AGOA, which is, of course, Parks Powell is in Washington this week, and for the AGOA forum. And I think the Democrats want to have a relationship with South Africa, and they want to have continuation of AGOA, and Trump would be bad news. So where I used to lie awake nights worrying, I'm now a little more sanguine.
With everything that you've said about Vance, do you think if he had known he was going to be going up against Kamala Harris, he should have done better by choosing another running mate?
Well, you know, he was really overly confident, and he likes J.B. Vance. He's liked him for some time now. I think he's getting second thoughts. There were a number of prominent Republicans who were arguing for Marco Rubio or somebody else, you know, a Cuban American. But J.D. Vance is good on television, or he was. I mean, he stumbled now, and people are talking about, you know, his cat lady comment about Kamala Harris and how she's childless, and so they're unhappy. They hate themselves. I mean, it's crazy. The politics in the U.S. are crazy anyway. But now at least there is a chance for some sanity to prevail. As indeed, Biden's record is outstanding. It's just he's showing his age, and you know, you don't know when you're going to deteriorate and how, what the causes will be. I mean, we're all facing it. I'm 80, and you know, I wouldn't want to tackle the presidency, and so I'm glad he stepped aside. It was a great service, and he will go down in history as a great man because of it. But just like Mandela, although I know he would think that the comparison was overdrawn because he's a great admirer of Mandela, and like Obama, he says I owe Mandela the inspiration that he's given me, but I would never want to be compared to him because he's of a class by himself.
Do you think he took too long to call it?
Well, that's an interesting question that I think historians will grapple with. It certainly, I was impatient, and I did think, you know, he waited too long. But he may have known what he was doing, in the sense that he may have read the polls and saw which way the wind was blowing, and decided that, let the Republicans have their Milwaukee love-in, and then and pick J.D. Vance or whatever. And it, you know, it's in retrospect, it seems like it's working out. But you know, it's very hard to to know what the real calculus was, because he did seem to be hard over and determined to run, but the polls. And he's realistic enough to know that the poll showed a Trump win, and he got into the race initially in 2020 because of the right wing fascist tendencies of Donald J. Trump.
So you speak of the polls, and yes, those internal poll ratings, there were low approval rates for Kamala Harris, maybe even a week before he announced that, you know, he's no longer going to be running. What do you think happened? I mean, the momentum she's gained over the past 7 days, for instance, is quite historic, as you said. What do you think happened?
Yeah, it is. And Biden was the messenger that was the problem. Kamala Harris has excitement and it can go for the jugular, and you know, as she said and has been quoted many times, you know, let me tell you one. I know the type that Donald Trump is. I prosecuted them.
Yes.
I prosecuted the cheaters. I prosecuted the women abusers.
Yes.
I prosecuted the liars, and so she can go down the list, and Biden couldn't really do that in his frail state, and so thank God he was wise enough to know that he should pass the baton. And he's done so to a woman who is very determined and seems to have learned some valuable lessons in the 2020 election, when she ran briefly and didn't really find her voice, but now she has it. And history is one damn thing after another, so she's turning it into a different direction. And thank God, America can be a more reliable partner for Africa and more like South Africa, a country united in its diversity.
So, I mean, he obviously is still hoping to win. What would he have to do to try and turn this all around?
By being Trump?
Yes, Trump.
I don't think he can, but, I didn't think he could win, and I made the mistake of telling the audience and the media here the night before that, Hillary Clinton would win. So, maybe not the best judge on this, but she seems to be much more serious and connected, and also it's a different time.
Mm.
And there is a women's outrage at the overturning of Roe v. Wade, mm-hmm. and the fact that the men would take from the women's rights have been hard won, and they didn't get the vote until 1920, and I've always felt that America won the Cold War by its civil rights progress, not by its Vietnam debacle or Iraq or wherever they go off in militarily. It is universal values. South Africa inspired the world with Mandela, but it also is inspiring the world on Gaza and the Palestinian people and the ICJ case, which was an embrace of universal values and not just in the narrow national interests. And so I think that Kamala Harris will carry this political equality of universal values. I remember hearing Omar Tambo in New York in 1987 saying, "How can you people have a Declaration of Independence, which is the four precursor of universal human equality?" And be aligned with the apartheid regime, we're two steps forward and one step backwards. But democracy is hard work, and I just think it's a moment to savor, and let's hope that it can be sustained.
Sure, lots to still talk about. Really appreciate your time, Professor John Strumlau, who is a visiting professor. I really appreciate it. Thank you. A visiting professor of international relations at Wits University. That brings us to the end of the show. I'll be back tomorrow at 8. Thanks, everybody.
And if you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.